This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sorry for the delay, my brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, we just had a shahada. So someone came into the masjid and accepted Islam. So if I can get a takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Honestly, every time someone accepts the shahada, it's such a beautiful moment. It's another soul that found salvation, another person connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's really something that... It's the highlight of your day, usually your week or your month, when you see someone say those beautiful words, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. May Allah make it easy on our brother, his journey, and may we see many more. Say Ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, today we're doing some reflections on a story that's mentioned in the Quran. And this story is one worthy of reflection, as are all the stories in the Quran. The story is mentioned in Surah Yasin. And it's a story about da'wah, calling to Islam. It's a story about sacrifice. It's a story about the everlasting mission of calling to Allah and the struggles that come with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells this story, and the surah, Surah Yasin, it's a surah, the main message behind it, it is to affirm the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to encourage him to continue going on. Because what happened is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you guys have seen, for those of you that attend my seerah class, he would deal with a lot of challenges. Every single day he would go out and call people to Islam, and he would be met with mockery, he would be met with rejection, he would be met with difficulty, and he would have to overcome that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would then tell the Prophet stories of those that came before him. Muhammad, if you are struggling, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are struggling, so did the people that came before you. And if you are being faced with rejection, others before you have been also rejected. Is everything okay over there? Barakallahu feekum. So this is the whole point of the stories are in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, why do we tell the stories? لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, so that we can make your heart firm, O Muhammad. And this is the same for us as well. Usually, if you're going through a tough time, and then someone tells you, أخي, I've been through this before. Immediately what happens is your heart settles a little bit when you realize, actually, I'm not the only one that went through this challenge. And then you find some sort of solace and comfort in it. And this is the same. And this is not only for the Prophet, it's also for the companions, it is also for us. As you read the Quran, and you come across a Prophet that was bedridden and sick. And then you see how he is praying to Allah. Right? When Prophet Ayyub says, Rabbi anni massaniya dur wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh Allah, truly pain and problems have afflicted me. And he's begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have a Muslim that is in bed, sick, in the hospital bed, and he reads that, he'll find comfort that I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. And similarly, the Quran is meant to be a source of guidance, and there's a reason why Allah put these stories in. There's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put these stories in. So the story that is in Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by telling us to give them a parable or the story or the example of the people of the town, أصحاب القرية, the people of the town. So there is a town here being described. The scholars of Tafsir, they discuss which town this was, where it was, and when it was. But like I've mentioned many times, if when and where was important, Allah would have told us. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give us the full detail of the story, because the Quran is not meant to be a novel where you need to know every detail. It is meant to give you the moral and the gist. So Allah subhanahu, and also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps it vague, we know this story happened, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the most crucial bit of information that we need to know about this area, or this town, or these people. إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ, when the messengers came to them. So I want you to imagine with me, you have a town, and Allah sent the messengers, not a messenger, messengers. إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Allah mentions, إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ, when we send to them two messengers, two prophets. Assalamu alaikum Sharif. Take care, brothers, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. So Allah says, we send to them two messengers and two prophets. Now, that is very interesting. Why does this town get two messengers? Why does this town get two messengers? And Allah, that used to happen sometimes in the past. It's only because we are used to how many messengers were sent to the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Just one, right? But in the past, it would be sometimes possible that you had more than one messenger, more than one prophet. In fact, during the time of Prophet Isa, you had at some point Prophet Zakariya, Prophet Yahya, and Prophet Isa all in Jerusalem, all in Al-Aqsa, right? So this was a normal occurrence. So this town, there's two messengers. What are the messengers calling them towards? To Islam, right? Better worship Allah alone, better your character, do your obligations. This is what their message is, right? Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us that first he sends them two messengers to call them to his tawheed, to the worship of Allah. Allah says, فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا, they denied them and rejected them. They denied them and rejected them. And this was a common occurrence. Allah would send a messenger and people would deny them. So don't be shocked when that happens. A lot of times we see this in the world, people that reject Islam, deny Islam, go against the message. This is a natural occurrence. It was never meant to be easy for the messengers, and that just shows the value of those that accept it. The value of those that accept it. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that guides. So you have this town, and these messengers are trying. And they used to try very hard. And they used to want to save everybody. The prophets and the messengers, they wanted to get as many people as possible to Jannah. And as many people as possible to get that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would try and try and try. And the one thing that they were told by Allah was, remember, you're not the one that guides. It's Allah. They had just had to put the effort in. Allah then says, فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. We then strengthened these two messengers with a third. So now, this particular town has how many messengers and prophets? They have three. And then they said, إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. We have been sent to you. We have been sent to you. When we talk about prophets and messengers, they are sent by our Creator to guide us. And this is really important. The messengers are sent by our Creator to guide us. So the best life you can possibly live in this world will be when you listen to the people that Allah sent you. They have the knowledge we don't. And that should be the relationship you have with our prophets. And that should be the relationship you have with our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it comes to the way you live your life, the way you act, the way you behave, the way you pray, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you will not be lost, because he's been sent by your Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the counter of the people in the town? Did they say, let's hear what you're saying, let's hear you out, let's listen? No. Immediately they said, مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ. You're just like your people, just like us. There is nothing special about you. So immediately they started to rationalize, no. You're just a person, you're not a messenger. And then they said, وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And the Most Merciful did not send anything. In أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. You are just lying. So, three claims. Claim number one, you're just people like us, so I don't have to listen to you. So a rejection of their authority. Number two, probably God did not send anything. Claim number three, you are lying. And the truth of the matter was, yes, they were. The first one is true. Yes, they were people like them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that the guidance of mankind would come through people like them. Because that's how we can... Is the microphone messing about? It is, right? Yeah, it's not in my head, is it? خير inshallah. So, مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ. SubhanAllah, look at the reply. So, they've just been called liars. You're liars. Allah did not send you, and we're not going to listen to you. Each one of us today, if someone called you a liar, what's the first thing you say? No, I'm not a liar. I'm not a liar. Maybe you're the liar. And then we would probably get agitated and upset. Look at how the messengers, three of them, how they reacted. SubhanAllah, they said, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمْ رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمْ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. SubhanAllah. They said, Allah knows, truly, رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمْ. Our Lord knows, truly, we are messengers. In other words, I don't care if you deny me. I know I'm a messenger, and the one who sent me knows I'm a messenger. Right? So they immediately deflected. You can say I'm a liar. I'm not going to engage with that. رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمْ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ. For example, let's say someone told you, you're a liar and you're a deceiver. You can say, Allah knows I am not. You know, if you're not, if you are, of course, then fear Allah. Right? But رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمْ إِنَّ. What does that do to you? That instills in you that, for example, if someone makes a claim about you that is negative, right? Someone makes a claim about you that is negative, and that is not true, there is an element of you where you're trying to convince that person that's not true, right? For example, if I say you're a thief, أخي والله I'm not a thief, when did you see me steal? Immediate reaction is, let me convince you I'm not, because it's a horrible label to have. True or false? True. But as far as the who you would want to know you're not a thief, first and foremost, is who? It's Allah. So it instills in you, in the end of the day, even if I don't get to convince you that I'm truthful, even if I don't get to convince you that what you think of me is wrong, I am going to be okay, because the one who really I care about and how they view me is Allah. And as long as Allah knows, I am not a thief, I am not a liar, I am not, alhamdulillah. Do you guys understand the psychology here? And this is very important. That in the end of the day, the one you should care about the most is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, people may call you something, but if Allah does not view it that way, it doesn't matter. It matters in the sense that in the world, of course, you want to have the best reputation possible. But let's say people are making claims against you. In the end of the day, what is the most important thing? What does Allah think of me? So immediately, subhanAllah, these prophets and messengers, they're teaching us. The one you should care about the most is Allah. Rabbuna ya'alam. Allah knows I am a messenger. We are messengers. And then look what he said. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ And upon us is nothing except to give you the message. We are just messengers. It's in our name. We are messengers. We are here to deliver the message. Upon us is to clearly tell you the message. As for accepting it, then that is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا And upon us is only إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ To deliver you the message in a clear and concise manner. Then the people said this. Immediately, look how far they escalated it. I want you to think about these messengers are here to save them. These messengers are here to guide them. These messengers are here. And look, it's very important that you appreciate the Prophet in Mecca receiving this chapter. The Prophet ﷺ and the many other chapters are similar to it. And he is dealing with the Meccans and they are rejecting him. And Allah is telling him, listen to this story of these people that were also rejected. And he's being threatened. And Allah is telling them, listen to these messengers that were also threatened. This is important because it would emphasize for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's important for us as well. Now, you may not be threatened, and if you are, may Allah make it easy for you. Please make sure you call the police if someone threatens your life, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to threaten their lives. But for us, it's if you are calling someone to become better, you want your family member or your neighbor or your friend or your co-worker and colleagues to become better, to practice Islam or to accept Islam. Remember that if you are faced with rejection, people that were better than you were also faced with rejection. And if people are not accepting the guidance, remember what your role is. Your role is to get the message to them in the best way possible. That is your role, to get the message to them in the best way possible. And leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَا يَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ They said, we view you as bad omens. We don't, the people are saying this. The town people are saying, you messengers or you people that claim to be messengers, all you are is bad luck and bad omens. We don't like your presence. It's all negative. And not only that, if you don't stop. لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهُ If you don't stop. Stop what? Stop preaching. Stop calling. If you don't stop, أَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ We will stone you to death. We will stone you to death. وَلَا يَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ And truly what will touch you is a severe punishment from us. This was the life of messengers. You know when we are meant to appreciate the prophets and the messengers? SubhanAllah. And the job of the messengers. Allah tells them, go save those people. Go teach them morals. Go teach them tawheed. Connect them to me. Let them stop praying. Improve their lives. And they go to them and they're dealing with things like this. This is what Abu Jahl was doing to our prophet. This is Fir'aun against Musa. Namrud against Ibrahim. Ibrahim and his father, fascinatingly, Ibrahim said the same, Ibrahim's father, his own father, said these same words to them. لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِي لَأَرْجُمَنَّكِ If you don't stop, I will murder you by stoning you. And in the end, what did they do? They lit a fire and threw him in it. Allah saved him. So next time you're reading about the prophets and the messengers, there should be a great element of admiration and appreciation for these men and how much they suffered for the spread of Islam. And we have to ask ourselves, are we also willing to have an element of sacrifice? Now you can easily say, it was their job. They were messengers. And Allah will reward them greatly. And of course, you cannot never compare yourself to a messenger. And it was their responsibility. You could say that, right? Because truly, the responsibility of Bani Israel was upon the shoulders of Prophet Musa. And at some point, it was upon the shoulders of Prophet Isa. And the responsibility of the guidance of Quraysh and mankind was upon the shoulders of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. More so than anyone else. Is that not true? That's true. So they were bearing that responsibility. And because they carried that weight and they delivered that message and they put the effort in, Allah rewarded them greatly in the hereafter. We're not prophets. We're not messengers. So how can we connect with that? We're not prophets and messengers. It was literally their main responsibility. That is maybe something that you're thinking. But then Allah tells us about a fourth person. And this person is the main character of the story. You remember the three messengers who came, who spoke, who were threatened? They're not even the main point of this story. It is this following man. Allah says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْسَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. الله أكبر. Allah says, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْسَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ. All day I was talking about these messengers. First there was two, then there was another one, and they spoke, and they called, and they were threatened, and they did. Allah says, from the edge of the town, from the furthest point of the town, a man came, not a messenger, someone like you and me. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٍ. A man came. He was running, rushing, yes sir. And then why? Why is he there? Why did he leave his home? Why is he there? قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Oh my people, follow these messengers. What's wrong with you people? Follow these messengers. So he's there supporting the message of the prophets. You see, the prophets always needed people to support their message. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his companions. Prophet Isa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his disciples. There's always those that support the message, and they are just as great when it comes to reward, and they are just as important. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى. Allah Almighty chose to speak about this man. We don't know his name. Some of the scholars say he was Habib al-Najjar. But Allah A'lam. Allah didn't tell us the name. Allah said, a man. مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Oh my people, follow these messengers. And look at the first thing he says. اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا. Follow those people who are not asking anything in return. This is not, they want nothing from you. They're not asking you anything. They just want to save you. They just want to connect you to your creator. They just want you to take you to Jannah. Here is an important lesson, by the way. Your da'wah can be severely impacted if the person receiving your da'wah feels you want something out of it. Let me say that again. When you're calling someone to Islam, let me give you like the stereotypical example. If someone calls someone to Islam because they are interested in marrying them, which happens sometimes. A thought happens to that person, they're interested in marrying this person, and they're like, you know what, let me... That is very different from when you call someone to Islam because you want to save them, take them to Jannah, and you want to just fulfill your responsibility as a da'i. Do you guys understand what I'm trying to say here? And if someone senses from you that you have an ulterior motive, is a problem. The prophets, they didn't want anything. That's why when Quraysh came to the Prophet, Muhammad, what do you want? when they got tired of the Prophet ﷺ's message. Muhammad, what do you want? Do you want to be king? We'll make you king. We'll give you the crown. You'll be the king of Quraysh. The Prophet said, I don't want to be king. Do you want wealth? We'll make you the richest man in Arabia. I don't want money. What do you want? I just want you guys to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the beauty of the message. And it's important that we always try to make our da'wah one that is free from wanting something in return. And that's why even the idea is, and I know it's not feasible, always, but the idea and the hope is that all Islamic programs come at zero cost. All literature, all books, all madrasas, everything comes at zero cost, ideally. Of course, that's not possible due to logistics and reasons, you know, but that should be the vision, that when it comes to connecting the mankind to their creator, we want nothing in return. And there should be an element of that also in your life where you should, when we say nothing in return, don't only think of material. I want to give you a few examples. Someone is in town, he has a little stall, he has mushafs, he's giving them out, he's in the rain, he's calling to Islam, telling people, he's putting time and effort in. Ideally, that person should only want reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else. He shouldn't want to be compensated for that. Now, if an organization hires him for his time, that's different, of course. But do you guys get what I'm saying? Now, what if that person was doing it for many, many years, and he was doing it fi sabilillah, but he wants recognition? I was standing there for 18 years. What does he want? He wants recognition and appreciation from who? From the people. Problem. That's a problem. Because ideally what you want, or someone was teaching Quran in the masjid for free, but then at some point in their heart is, I've been doing this for 10 years. People should appreciate that. Actually, my brother and my sister, it's okay. People should. Do I agree? People should appreciate that. But what if they don't? What did we learn from the messages? Who should we care for about the most? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single hour you spent teaching Quran or calling to Islam or speaking to someone, who was watching you? Allah. Who saw you? Allah. Who heard you? Allah. So if no one ever gave you a thumbs up, or no one ever told you good job, or gave you a pat on the back, ideally it shouldn't matter. لا أسألكم عليه من أجر. This is how, again, I'm telling you guys what we should be aiming for. But people fall short, and may Allah forgive us. We all fall short. So this man comes from far. Number of things we have to ask ourselves. What do you think motivated him to come? He could have been like, there's three messengers. What am I going to do? There's three prophets. What am I going to do? If they rejected the messenger, what's the point of me even talking? Sometimes you might think that, you know. You might think, you know, Alhamdulillah, the sheikh is here. I don't have to say anything or do anything. You know, there's another person there. I don't have to do anything. No. If you can support. If you can speak. Are you guys? Because how easily could that man have just been said, all right, the people are threatening the messengers, but subhanAllah, they are clearly more qualified, more knowledgeable than me. I am just going to stay quiet. But what he did was, he spoke, but he spoke on behalf of the messengers. And look what he said. He didn't say, he didn't make his own arguments. He didn't say, he said, listen to them. So his job is just, guys, I guarantee you need to listen to them. So he's still signposting them back to who? To the messengers. And even when you're giving da'wah, it's about this. What you're basically saying every time you're giving da'wah, if you're giving da'wah to a Muslim, if you're giving da'wah to a non-Muslim, you're saying exactly these two, three words. Ya qawmi tabi'u al-mursaleen. My brother, follow the messengers. You want your fellow non-Muslims to follow the Prophet? You want your fellow Muslim to follow the Prophet? Because that way, it's not about you, it's about the Prophet's message. He is speaking to people that are extremely hostile. How do we know that they're hostile? What did they just do? Yes. They just threatened the prophets. So this man comes from far and he's speaking to people that just said to three prophets, if you don't stop, we're going to kill you. It didn't stop him. So what does that teach us about this man? He was extremely what? Brave. Committed and brave. And then he said, وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. These messengers are guided. We need to follow them because they have the guidance. And then look how he said. He said to them, look at the way he gave da'wah. He says, وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. And why would I not worship the one who created me? Guys, he says to them, why would I not worship the one who created me? وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And you will end up back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's now telling them his reasons of following the messengers. So instead of making it, look what he didn't say yet. He didn't say to them, why are you guys threatening the messengers? What's wrong with you guys? Why are you so violent? He didn't say that. He didn't say, you guys are being violent. You guys are being crazy. Leave these messengers alone. He didn't say any of that, which is probably what all of us would have said if we were brave enough to go there to begin with. Most likely, we would just stayed at home. This man says, he's speaking to these people and he's saying to them, why wouldn't I worship the one who created me? Doesn't it make sense? Instead of worshiping rocks and stones and idols and other and people. And then he says, أَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ أَهْلِهَا. أَتَّخِذُ. Am I going to take gods besides Allah? And then إِن يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍّ لَا تُغْنِي عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا. If Allah wants, if the most merciful, look what he calls Allah, the most merciful. If the most merciful wanted to harm me, none of these idols can prevent that. And if I worship them, he says, if I worship besides Allah, what happens? He says, إِنِّي إِذًا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. I would be in great misguidance. What this man did is he made the case of why he is Muslim. And this is really powerful sometimes. Explain to people why you're Muslim. Or explain to people why you pray. You may know someone that doesn't pray. And your instinct may tell him, Akhi, you need to pray because X, Y, and Z. But instead, imagine, say, do you know why I pray and I don't miss my salah? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. What it does is, it removes the spotlight from the person and to yourself. So, and people tend to listen more when you do that. So from this story, we're learning ways to call to da'wah. Here is why I'm Muslim. Here is why I pray salah. Here is why I decided to go Hajj and I saved for it. It's a way, and then you give really, if you give really good reasonings, the person can then look at that and say, you know what? Those are really good reasons. Maybe I should also think of that. And sometimes they may not. He said all of this. He spoke about why he worships Allah. And I also like it very beautiful. He made it truly just about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would I not want to worship the one who created me? The one who can, who if he decides to harm me, none can protect me. And if he decides to benefit me, he's the one that can. He is the most merciful. Why would I not want to worship Allah? And also, he really simplified the message of the prophets. Listen, all these messages want from you is to connect you to the one who gives you everything and does everything for you. And if I don't worship him, I am truly upon misguidance. And then he says to them, إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ. Subhanallah. He said to them, indeed, I believe in your Lord. He could have said, إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّي. I truly believe in my Lord. Hear me, O people. I truly believe in my Lord. But he said, I truly, إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. What he's trying to emphasize there. The one he believes in, and the one he fears, and the one he worships, is the same one that is whose Lord? Their Lord as well. إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ. Now what happened to him? Remember how I told you that they were very violent people? They killed him right there and then. Some of the narrations mentioned that they used stones. Others say they stomped him to death. He leaves his home. He sees the messengers calling people to Islam. He intervenes. He makes his case. He speaks about why he worships Allah and why they should as well. And he took his life in the most violent way possible. And Allah. He martyred there and then. And then Allah says about him, قِيلَ دَخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. He was told, enter Jannah. قِيلَ دَخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. He was told, enter Jannah, enter paradise. And you know what he said? He said, he passed away now. And Allah tells us, beyond this world, after he died, and he's been told, go to Jannah. Allah tells us what he said. Ya layta qawmi ya'lamoon. He said, oh, I wish my people knew. I wish my people, the same people that did it to him, violently killed him. Ya layta qawmi ya'lamoon. I wish my people knew. Bima ghafara li rabbi. How Allah forgave me. وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ and have made me from the honorable ones. I wish they knew how Allah forgave me and honored me. Even after his passing, look how he's thinking about his people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this story to teach us many, many great lessons. Among them being that when it comes to the call to Islam, many have suffered for it. The same Islam that we are holding on to, the same Islam that we appreciate, the same Islam that sometimes we don't appreciate enough. This is the type of challenges that people went through. This man, Allah had deemed him important enough to tell us about him in this surah. This man was not a prophet. He was not a messenger. He was a regular person. A regular person that cared enough. A regular person that cared enough to stand by these messengers and to call those people to Islam, no matter how hostile they were. And as he was calling them to Islam, he did not use one word that you can understand from it that he's trying to antagonize or show his anger or he was upset. Purely beautiful statements, reminding them and admonishing them and showing them why he is a Muslim. He didn't mind that they were dangerous. And in the end, he lost his life because of it. But Allah tells us that although he lost his life in this dunya, he earned Jannah because of those actions. And that's how sacrifice works. That's how sacrifice works. This man is truly a hero. And his name is not even known, it's disputed. But his story is forever being read by Muslims all over the world, every time in Surah Yasin, from Ayah 13 to Ayah 27. It's about him. And the moral, my brothers, of the story is that the call to Islam is a responsibility upon all of us. The call to Islam does not mean that people will accept it, but we do it anyway. The one who we care about the most should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how he views us. That it is entirely possible that a people will reject the truth, but it does not mean that we do not deliver it to them. That we look beyond this world and we look towards the life after. And that we take some inspiration from this man. His bravery, his courage and his care. Him leaving his home was care for his people. Him standing up against them as they were threatening was bravery. The way he spoke was wisdom. So this man combined care for his ummah, and we need care for our ummah. And I mean all of ummah, all of humanity. And we need bravery. Sometimes we're not brave enough to ask at work a prayer room, or we're not brave enough to tell the truth to a friend of ours that is slacking in his ibadah, or we're not brave enough to stand up to a family member who's doing something wrong in the deen, of course. And then if you have that bravery, you also need wisdom. Saying the right words and the right statements to ensure that the person try your best to say the statements that will most likely be the most impactful. And even then, they may not be impactful, because guidance is not in your hand, it is in whose hands? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, look at the reward this man got. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him and made him among those that were honored with martyrdom and shahada. A very powerful story, my brothers and sisters, and a very powerful lesson. It's also important to reflect over the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is receiving this as his companions were martyring, as his companions were suffering, and it provides a source of solace for them as well. We know the first shaheed of the Seerah, Sumayya, and others as well. I would like to, inshallah ta'ala, conclude by telling you guys a story that is not connected to this, but it was about the Quran. There was a man who used to recite the Quran so much, all the time. We're talking about, he used to finish the Quran on a regular basis. And one day he was reciting the Quran, and it is said that as he was reciting, the final words he said was, "Inni idha lafi dalalim mubin," which means, indeed, I am upon great misguidance. And then he passed away. Those were his last words. And people worried that his last words were, "I upon what? Misguidance." And then someone, they said, that went to sleep, and they saw this person who would read the Quran so much. And he said, "What happened to you?" He said, "In a dream, what happened to you? Because they said that your last words were, I am upon misguidance." Of course, the context was that the man whose story you told said to the people, "If I don't worship Allah, I am upon what? Misguidance." But this man was just reading the surah, and he passed away at ayah 24. And then his friend goes to sleep, and he sees him in a dream. He says, "Listen, what happened to you?" And this man was known to reading the Quran so much that he said, "Allah told me to continue reading." And it goes like this: "Inni amantu bi rabbikum fasma'un qila adkhul al-jannah qala ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara rabbi waj'alni min al-mukramin." Indeed, I truly believe in Allah, your Lord, hear me. And then he was told to enter Jannah. I wish my people knew how Allah forgave me and made me among those who are honored. So such a beautiful story about, of course, reading the Quran as often as you can. Ramadan is approaching. Ramadan is the month of Quran. Let's read the Quran as often as we can. May Allah make us among the honored. May Allah forgive our sins. May Allah give us the courage to give da'wah. And truly appreciate the story of this man. This man who wasn't a prophet, yet he had the courage and the wisdom of the greatest people. Jazakum Allah khair for attending, everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings and our sins. May Allah accept from us. I'll conclude here. هذا وآخر دعوانا. الحمد لله رب العالمين.